Okay, Boker Tov to everyone. V'lechol amazinim. So today is the 12th of Iyar, and we dedicate the learning l'ilinishmas liba bas Yisrael. Sharon Siegel and I'm Sharon Greenbaum and Marcia Siegel. L'ilinishmas their mother Lillian Kopitnikov, who of course was one of our founders. The shul was founded in her basement, as we all know. So today's the yard site. We'll learn l'ilinishmas. This week, read the Sedra of B'chukosai. You have a copy? Okay. So, Pasuk, which begins the Sedra, Im B'chukosai Telechu, V'yas Mitzvosai Tishmeru, V'asisem Osam. If you walk in my statutes, and you observe my mitzvos, and do them, and then the brachos follow as the Torah outlines for us. What's unusual about the Pasuk? We have a number of times in the Torah. What's that?
I was going to answer.
Yeah, please.
What's this?
What's that? I mean, plural. All my chukos. Right. What's unusual is the word telechu, halicha. We have a number of times in the Torah. It says, u'shmartem es chukosai. Or it'll say, va'asisem es chukosai, etc. But here you have the Torah saying you should walk with the statutes. So why walk? Hado dichsiv. So Medra says, quotes a pasuk from Tehillim. Chishafti drachai. I calculated my steps, my ways. Va'ashiva raglai el edosecha. But my feet were drawn. My feet always returned to your testimonies. Amar David, David HaMelech said, Ribono Shel Olam, B'chol Yom V'Yom Hayisi Mechashev V'Omer, every day I would calculate, plan my day, V'Omer, I would say, Limkom Ploni, Ulaves Dira Plonis Aneholech, I'm going to go to such and such place, I'm going to such and such apartment, residence, that's where I'm going, that's where I'll spend my day. As we wake up in the morning, some people do this even the night before. They'll say, make a list. I have to go here, this place, supermarket, bank, mall, whatever it is. So David would have the same calculations. Nonetheless, v'hayu raglai miviososi labate kinesios ulabate midrashos. But wherever I wanted to go, my feet would always take me to the shul and the base medrash. Hado dichsiv v'ashiva raglai el edosecha. That I bring my feet always return to your testimonies. So what does this mean? Ashiva raglai elei dasecha. Hayu raglai miviososi labate kinesos labate midrashos. The fact is, you go where you want to go. What does it mean? The feet are not independent agents, independent of the master. They go where they want to go. So how do we understand it? I think that Tup shot him. First, it's to say that in David's case, his feet were naturally drawn to the shul and to the Beis HaMedrash. Naturally drawn there. Notice he can't not go there. Whatever he was doing, he would just almost naturally be drawn as if by magnetic attraction to the house of study. Such a thing exists. You know, and my wife knows whenever we travel, if I see a Svarim store, I run into it. So Shiva Raglai, maybe it's just to be in the comfort of the Svarim, in the shade of the Svarim, to open up a Sefer, to find a new Sefer, but you find you're drawn to that. In David's case, it means that the soul was developed in such a way, it was just naturally inclined, like a rubber ball that floats to the surface in water, naturally inclined to go to the Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash. That's one idea. There's a second idea as well. V'hayu raglai mivios osi labate kinesios ulabate midrashos, in terms of objective, what's his goal? Whatever else we do, however else we have to occupy our time, the goal, the essence, is always what's found in the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash. The ikir is always Talmud Torah, learning Torah, service of Hashem. That's what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, "V'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shemaim." Whatever a person does should be l'shem shemaim, for the sake of heaven. Meaning that becomes the overarching principle that guides our lives. That's the service to which we're drawn. Whatever else we do, eating, drinking, relaxing, resting, whatever else we do, it's l'shem shemaim, for the sake of heaven. There's a similar phrase, interestingly enough, of Rav Nachman Breslov. Well, you rarely hear me quote, but it's such a famous phrase. I remember the phrase before I remembered who said it. Kol makom sheni holech, ani holech l'Eretz Yisrael. He said, wherever I'm going to Israel. If you think about it, a Jew has that in mind as well. Just like the Beis HaKnesses, just like the Beis HaMedrash. Wherever we're going, we should always deem ourselves to be en route to Israel. Whatever steps we take, it's to come back to the homeland. That's the first pshat. Either it's because a person's naturally drawn to it, because of the way the soul has been developed, or secondly, in terms of objective, that whatever he does, it's always inclining him towards the Beis HaMedrash and the Beis HaKnesses. The Chidush Arim, the Ger Rebbe says here, a little different idea, but also quite valid, that David was saying that every day, Hayisi mechashe vomer lumkom ploni beizdir plonis, etc. Every day I thought to learn what to do mitzvos alone in this place, in this abode. V'hoyer raglai mivyosasi labate kinesis labate midrashos. But my legs bring me to shul, or the Beis HaMedrash, such that I always want to perform my mitzvos, or these mitzvos in public, where I'll be able both to influence others, as well as be inspired by others too. A person who wants to learn, it's best that he learn in the Beis HaMedrash, where others are around, instead of learning alone at home. A person wants to do a mitzvah, again, it's best to do a mitzvah in the company of others. Berov am hadras melech, the glory of the king, the majesty of the king is in numbers. We join with others, it becomes a greater praise of the king. So says the Ger Rebbe. I'll mention one other point, which is similar to what I said earlier, Nechelis Mordechai Gimpel Yaffa. He says that, again, every day, Hayisi Mechashev, I would consider, I have to go here, there, but wind up in the Beis HaMedrash. What's the here and there? Makom Ploni Beis Dir Plonis, the Maaseh Rishus, optional matters that a person is allowed to do, he doesn't have to do. So Mordechai Gimpel Yaffa wrote that in business, only the accomplishment matters. The halicha doesn't matter at all. In other words, if you had a long commute to work, and then you had a terrible day, and you cost your client money, nobody really cares that you had a long commute, because the result is what's important. Did you produce? Did you not produce? The halicha doesn't matter at all. Not so in Torah. Not so in mitzvos. In mechukosai teilechu. It's even the halicha that's rewarded. There's such a concept the Gemara mentions, schar halicha, schar psia, in a related context. The number of steps that we take to shul, the walking that we do, the preparation for a mitzvah, even the forethought to a mitzvah, the machshava that leads to the mitzvah, that's part of the mitzvah as well. That's unique in the world of ruchnius, in the spiritual world. It's completely non-existent in the world of Gashmus. Tell me if it's so. If you labor in a kitchen for hours and then burn the dish or add too much of one ingredient so it's not tasty.
It's all ruined.
It's what?
It's all ruined.
It's all ruined, right. It's not going to benefit the consumer, the person who's eating it, that there was a lot of effort went into it, correct. Mitzvahs are not like that. Gemara says a person tries to do a mitzvah and is thwarted, he has a schar mitzvah also. He tried to do it. The trying to do it means you oriented the soul, directed the soul to accomplish a spiritual objective. That itself is a part of the process of perfection. So therefore that's rewarding. Next, Rav Huda b'shem Rabbi Acha Amar, chishafti matan schar. All these are focusing on why we use the term walking here. What did a person calculate? Is it calculated the drachai, really the focus here? im b'chukosai telechu, chishavti drachoi, David said. I calculated my ways, my drachim. So drachim is plural, right? It could have said chishavti derech. So what's the drachai? It means he has two choices between, two options to choose from. One, matan scharen shel mitzvahs, the reward for mitzvahs. And secondly, vefseden shel averos, the loss of averos. By the way, hefseden shel averos, you see, is not onesh. It's not punishment. It's hefsedon. The loss of an avera is the spiritual loss that a person feels, either because he didn't do a mitzvah that he could have been doing at the time, or simply because of the spiritual degradation the person feels as a result of the sin. So that chishati drachoi in the pasuk means that David said, I contemplate this two ways before me, two ways to perfection, the way of mitzvos, or the loss of averos. Rabbi Menachem Chasson, Rabbi Elazar bar Avinah adds this, chishavti drachoi, what are the two ways? Chishavti masha kasafta lona b'Torah, I considered what you wrote in the Torah, God, im b'chukosai telechu, u'maksif tamon, there it says, what's the consequence? V'nasati shalom baretz, I'll bring peace to the land. V'mlosish muli, and if you don't listen to me, maksif tamon, that's the beginning of the Tochacha. V'yosafti liyasara eschem. I'll continue to chastise you. So again, you have two ways. The first, Rav Huna, was in terms of shlemus, quest for perfection. This in terms of schar v'onesh, of reward and punishment, the Tochacha. Third, Rabbi Abba, Breder Pchia b'shem Rabbi Yonason Amar, also drachai. What are the two ways? Chishafti brachos, chishafti klolos. I calculated the brachos that exist here in the Sedra and the klolos as well. I calculated the curses. Brachos me aleph yatov. The blessings are from aleph to tov. How's that so? Im b'chukasai telechu. V'olecheschem komiyus. So it begins with an aleph, begins with a tov, meaning the entire aleph bet. What's the pshat? All-encompassing. The brachos, when things are good, when the reward is to come, im b'chukosai telechu, the brachos are all-encompassing. Whereas the klolos, min vav v'ad hei, the klolos begin with a vav, end with a hei, v'im b'chukosai v'im lotishmu li, right, v'im, with a vav, and ends in a hei, b'yad Moshe. So vav to hey is also an aleph bet of sort, right? Because hey precedes vav. No, that's not how the Medrash saw it. V'lo'od ela shehein afuchos. It's in fact the opposite. From vav to hey, there is nothing. You can't get from vav to hey. You have to go all around. So there's no connection. You're not going forward in a sense. And besides, when you get there, it's backwards. A hey to vav would be very small. Vav to hey is almost difficult to achieve. That's the message here. Omer Rabbi Ovin, im zechisen hareini hofech lochem klolos levrachos. If you're worthy, then I will transform your curses into blessings. Emosai kishetishuas torasi, when you observe the Torah. Hador d'chsiv im b'chukosai telechu, if you walk in my statutes. Hareini hofech means one of the great lessons of Jewish life. We always have the opportunity to transform a curse into a blessing, a punishment into a reward. Always have the curse. Afilu cherev chadam unachas al tzavro shel odom, al yimen ha'atzmu min arachamim. Even if there's a sharp sword at someone's neck, should not refrain from asking for mercy. There is never a situation when all is lost. And that's what it means, shehein hafuchos, the seder is completely off. Vav to hey is backwards. Alpha tough is straight. Vav to hey is convoluted to show us that the brachos are all there waiting as a package. But we'll never say the klolos are waiting as a package, because that package can always be undone. Okay. Next, number two. Im chukosai telechu, chukim shebohem chokakti es hashamayim v'haaretz. It's the statutes through which I engraved the heavens and the earth. So chukim means statutes, but chok means something else. The phrase in the Gemara, chok tochos, laws on Shabbos, or in fact in Safras, you can't carve out a letter. So lachakok means to engrave, okay? These are the chukim shebohem chakakti shamayim v'aretz. With them I engrave the world. Shenemar, pasuk in Yirmiyo, im lo v'risi yomam v'layla, chuko shamayim v'aretz lo samti. If not for my covenant that God made with the Jewish people, then day and night, all of creation, the statutes by which the heavens and the earth are governed, lo samti, would not place them. Meaning they would not have, the world would not have been created. Okay? Melamed shehis nakadosh baruch hu masa brejus. Gemara says in Shabbos. Yom hashishi. We add the hay as if there's a condition. If the Jewish people accept the Torah, the world can exist. If not, the world doesn't exist. What's the pshat? So you have the chukosai here, in terms of God's spiritual laws, and chukos shemayim v'aretz. You have the same thing. The Medrash continues. Chukim shebahem chakakis ha-shemesh v'sayareach. Shenemar, also pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Komar Hashem l'sein shemesh l'or yomam chukos yireach v'chochem l'or laylo. That God placed the sun to be the light of day, and the chukos, the laws of the moon and the stars, to be the light of night. What are the chukos of the stars and the moon? Or chukos shemuchakaktis hayom, the statues with which I engraved the sea. And the Medrash continues, I didn't quote every single one. You have chukos mentioned in terms of chol, as sand as well. Asher samti chol gvul yom, right? Chok olam v'lo yavrenu. Chukim shebehem chokakti is hatahom, the deep as well. It means, and this is a very important point, and it really opens up the way we look at the world. The Torah is as much a physical reality as is creation. Because the Torah is much a part of the Metzius as in creation. There's no creation without it. Sof ma'aseh machshava tchila. It's not as if the world was created and then the Torah system, morality, was imposed upon it. Rather, it's at the very heart of the world. It, in fact, the Torah preceded the world. If there's no Torah, there's no world. So to us, the physical world seems much more real because we sense it. It's tangible. Whereas the Torah does not seem real. That's where the Medrash comes to negate. In fact, in B'chukosai Teilechu, the same word regarding God's laws are used as regarding nature itself. And of course, it's the Torah that enables us to interact, to utilize, to understand, and to sanctify the physical world. Without having the Torah, we essentially grope in the dark as we attempt to use the physical world, and often wind up destroying ourselves. That's the bris. Im lo v'risi, yom v'layla, chuko shemayim v'aretz lo samti. There's a very interesting pshat that I saw in the back of the Medrash HaMavur from the Nesivus Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe. He says the creation is divided into three parts. There's an upper creation, and there's an essential creation, and there's the lower creation. And all of these are mentioned in the Medrash here. What's the upper creation? It's l'malam min abriya. That's the luminaries, the sun, yireach, the moon, etc. Then you have what really is the essence of the bria as we relate to it. The chol, which is earth, the sand, the yam, that's palpable to us. We walk on it, we swim in it, we feel it. And then you have what's l'mata min abriya, underneath creation, and that the Medrash says is the tahom, the deep. We don't access the deep. I mean, think about it. After all this, after all we know, much of what lies beneath us remains a mystery. Okay, there's only so far we can go to examine the... the Earth is spheres, right? So there's crusts at different levels, and you can go down a certain distance, but you can't go down beyond that. Remember, they used to think if you dug all the way, you'd wind up in China? It could be, but the fact is, we don't even know what's at the Earth's core. Okay, we don't. That's l'mata min abriya. So he says, man is the same way. Man is created the same way. We have an upper, we have a middle, an essence that's palpable to us, and then we have a lower dimension as well. What's upper is the moach. That's the intellect, our minds. What's in the middle is the lev. That's how we're set up, in fact, top, middle, bottom. What's below us, the evarim, the organs. In context, of course, it means the sexual organs, but it could be any organs. That's the lower element of man. The fact is, that's how we're created, upper, middle, lower. there's a Torah, they're chukim for all three. For the mind, we're given deos. We're told how to think, what thoughts we should have, ideas, emuna, etc. For the lev chomed, we're taught what desires we should have, what desires are licit and proper, what desires are illicit and destructive. And then you have the evarim, which is the realm of deeds. Some deeds are good, some are bad. Some are proper, some are improper. The same pattern. And that's the pshat, the Slonim said. The pattern that exists in creation was exactly the same pattern God with which God created man. Yes?
Why are some things in creation like a tsunami or a hurricane? Why did God create
them? Yeah, it's a good question. Why did God create a tsunami? Well, you could ask, why did God then create a malady within a human being? Why does a person develop, or even born with some congenital malady, or in fact develop? So you have built into the system of creation these types of imperfections.
That's not an imperfection, though.
What's that? A tsunami?
The top of the earth could not exist unless it was constantly in motion, and the earth would be bringing up minerals.
But those are pretty rare. I mean, the
earthquake.
Yeah, but even so.
It has to be plates. It has to be earthquakes.
That's correct.
It's weather.
Yes, but so again, what that is essentially the illness of the natural world, which is comparable to the illness of the human being. You know, we have different maladies also that affect us. You could ask, why must we have death? Why can't we just keep living? Why must there be any illness? So in fact, the way the system is created, if there were no upheavals, I don't mean to be too philosophical about it, because obviously people suffer both globally and individually, however you look at it, from creation or the human being. But if everything just existed, kedarka, never changed, so man would have even less reason to feel humble. And man would feel himself the creator. And that was the problem, of course, you see with Adam Arishon and the generation of Noach as well. The world was stable. Everything came easy to them. And so they were able to discount the existence of God and feel they could create their own morality. There's a humbling aspect to these natural disasters, as there's a humbling aspect as well to human frailty. All right, the shock that we feel if there's an earthquake or a tornado is the same shock that we feel if someone is suddenly ill, because we feel that could happen to us in the natural world, and this could happen to us in the physical world as well. So all those things are inclined to bring a person to God. Otherwise, we become too complacent, and we'd be less inclined to serve Hashem. That's a thumbnail sketch of an answer, because much deeper topic, but there's a theory to it. I mean, there is something to it. I guess we'll take this up in our Emunah class that we're starting tonight in a few weeks. Okay, next, 3. Rabbi Levi b'shem Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanin Omar. It's another explanation of chukim. Chukim, of course, means engraved. He said, "Chukim shehem chakukim al yetzer hara." These are statutes that are engraved on the yetzer hara. Hado d'chsev hoy hachokukim chikikei oven. Woe to those who engrave the engravings of evil or injustice. All right. What does this mean? Amar Rabbi Levi. Mashal, it's a parable. Limkom adrimon shum shubosh bigyasos. Think of a place that's desolate, destroyed, all right, because it's been overrun constantly by brigands. Me'arso hamelech. What does the king do? Hoshivbo kostrainos b'shvil shomro. So he puts a small force there to protect it, to guard it, to make sure that it's not overrun again. Kach amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is what God said. Torah kruya evan, the yetzer hara kruya evan. The Torah is called a stone, and the yetzer hara is also called a stone. How do we know Torah? Because it says, as luchos ha evan, batar mitzvah. The Torah came to us in stone, luchos. Yetzer kruya evan, yetzer is also called a stone. Tichsiv, read this a few, 2 months ago, in Parshas Parah of Torah. Vasirasi is lev ho evan mibsarchem. Take away your stone heart V'levo even, yetzara. Torah even, yetzara even. Ho even tishmor es ha'oven. Let one stone guard the other stone. What's the pshat? Okay. I think the pshat is like this, just in the context. The idea that's being conveyed here is that the yetzara is a stone. It's a rock. It's a boulder sometimes. But the Torah is the only tool that can chip away at it and harness its energy for good and not be overcome by it. How do you break a stone? With another stone or something more powerful than a stone. You can't use a piece of rubber against a stone. It's not going to help. So often to us, here's the pasuk. Hoy ha-chokagim chikage oven. He often, sin seems to us to be fixed, right? What's the expression? It's set in stone. It's engraved. It's not, that means something that can't be changed. Chikage oven is the notion that sin is fixed, unchanging, won't change, can't be changed. So now here's the mashal. If you have this individual overrun constantly by these brigands, how do you have to ensure that the next group will not be successful? You have to place a mishmar, a guard that has as strong, if not a stronger force than the invaders. What's that guard? The mishmar? That's the Torah. The Torah is the antidote. The Torah is as powerful as the Yetzara, if not even more powerful. At the very least, stone is capable of blunting stone. That's why we have an expression, an iron will. What's an iron will? An iron will is a person, well, there's a secular connotation as well, but an iron will is a person who will not let his Yetzara overcome him. That's stone, that's Evan. Will not let the Yetzara triumph, because his will is greater than the seductions of the Yetzara. Next, it's a Parsha Vav, Siman Vav. Amar Rabbi Acha ben El Yoshev, Chukim, Shemeviim es Adam Mechayel Amaba. So you have another reference here. Statutes that bring a person to the next world. So here, Chuk means something else. We say engraving, but also writing. That's what a phrase we used before, Chuk Tochos. I mean, you write a letter by carving out two letters. You don't use ink, but rather you just scrape away. You could write in that fashion also. That's also considered ksiva, although it's possible for a Sefer Torah, Tefillah, or Mezuzah. But here, it's a writing. Chukim are the writings that bring us to the next world. Hadao d'chsiv, v'hoyo pasuk in Yeshayo, v'hoyo neshar b'tzion, v'nosar b'Yerushalayim, kadosh yamer lo, kol ha-kosuv l'chayim b'Yerushalayim, all those written for life in Yerushalayim. Written for life, shehu she'osek b'Torah, shehi eitz chayim, the one who involved himself in Torah, which is the tree of life. Shenemar, Eitz Chaim Hi. A tree of life it is for you. Tree of life. That's the writing. Through the Chukim, we don't just benefit ourselves in this world, but we write our own destiny in the next world. Next, Tanei B'Shem Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, it was taught in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Hasayif V'Hasefer Nitnu Mechorachim En Hashemayim. The sword and the book came down to us, rolled together from heaven. Amar Lamakadosh Baruch Hu, God says to us, Im shmartem ashekasa b'sefer zeh, if you observe what's in this book, meaning the Torah, hare atem nitzalim en asayif, you'll be saved from the sword. But if im lav, if not, sof shehu horegeschem, if you abandon the Sefer, then it's the Saif that will get you. V'heichan hu mashmon shel dvarim. How do you know this expression? Shenemar, Pasuk says in Sefer Bereishis, when Adam Arishon was expelled from Gan Eden, v'aygarash es od mashmor es deres eitz ha-chayim, there's a cherv mis ha-pechas, the revolving sword kept him out. Es derech zo derech eretz, that's the way of the world, meaning the way of Torah. V'charkach Eitzachayim, the tree of life, Zo Torah. Okay, what's the pshat? What's the difference? Rachman Yosha spoke of Chukim as the Tiktal Mabo. That's all true. But here now, Rabbi El-Ozor adds a point, Saif HaSefer, that with Torah, we have Olam Hazeh also. But if all we seek is Olam Hazeh, all we seek is this world, we won't even have that. It'll be taken from us by the Saif. Finally, along these lines, Tanei B'Shem Shem Ben Yochai, was taught the name of Bar Yochai, HaKikar V'Makel Nitnu Mecharachim En Hashemayim. The loaf and the staff were brought to us, wrapped together from heaven. Amar Lohem, Im Shmartem Es HaTorah, Hare Kikar Lechol. If you observe the Torah, then here's your bread to eat. Vimlav, Hare Makel Kozbo. You'll have the staff with which you'll be beaten. Echonu Mashmo Shodavar, where do we see this explicated? Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Haftar for Shabbos Chazon. Im Tovu Ushmatem. Tuv Haaretz Tochelu. If you obey God's mitzvahs, listen to them, you'll be able to eat from the good of the world. Im Tamanum Risem, if you refuse and rebel, Cherev Tukulu, then you'll be consumed by the sword. Consumed by the sword. What's the pshat? What's the difference between Saif and Sefer and Kikar Makel? Seems to make the same point, right? It's a related point, it's not quite the same point. Saif is Sefer really is talking about Torah mitzvahs, not talking about this world, so the physical rewards in this world. Saif, of course, is a punishment, but Sefer means observing the Torah. We don't observe the Torah, then we're going to be punished. Here it's different. Here it says, if we observe the Torah, we are given a kikar. Rav Bar Yochai is speaking about schar. We're given bread. If not, we feel the lash of the stick. What's this business with chorochim and ashramayim? How is it that they come wrapped together, rolled together from heaven? When do you ever see a staff and a loaf rolled together? They have a similar shape, by the way, but where do we ever see that? So the Dubna Magid says as follows. He says, that's the problem. Very often in the world, mitzvos and averos come to us wrapped together, such that we don't know, or we'll know which is which. If it was separate, it would be obvious. If a person saw the kikar and they saw the makel, so of course you choose the kikar if you're hungry, not the makel. But they come wrapped together. When mitzvos and averos come wrapped together, it's hard for us to determine which is better for us. Because sometimes we look at an avera, and it seems very attractive. We want to do it. We'll have a meat hanah, etc. And other times, mitzvos come to us looking very unattractive, very difficult to do. So we abstain from them. That's the problem. They're micharoch men ashramayim. They come in a package.
Together?
They come in a package. Because you're presented with something that's not obvious. It's not like it's on a shelf, nicely laid out. You could choose a mitzvah and not go down that aisle. They're together. In other words, the mitzvah should be naturally attractive, but nonetheless, there are certain forces that compel us to say, no, I don't want that, it's too hard, it's too antisocial, etc. Conversely, there are look very attractive. Okay, I'll give you a simple example, it's such a common one. You take Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is a mitzvah, which the Aveira seems very attractive. You're popular, you're socially desirable, people invite you over, you're in the know, you have the dirt, information, people to talk about. It's an aver that feels very attractive. Conversely, the mitzvah of abstaining from Lashon Hara seems very unattractive. Nobody wants to talk to you. People feel they can't talk around you. They don't want to be in your company anymore. There's nothing to say. You'd be silencing others. You're walking out, you're covering your ears. That's Micharochim and Hashemayim. They come wrapped together because it's the same mouth from which one or the other can emerge. That's the difficulty mitzvahs. That's Micharach Min HaShemayim. And ultimately, that is the choice that we make. That is the choice. The choice only comes about because they come to us wrapped together. Okay. Next pasuk, or few pasukim down. Binasati Gishmechem Be'itam. One of the brachos to which we're zocha is that the rain comes in its time. Amar Bionason, Shlosha Nitnu Matana Le'olam. The three things that are given to the world as a gift. HaTorah, V'hame'oros, the luminaries, sun, moon, stars, V'hagishamim, and rain. HaTorah, because it says V'yitain, in each case it says V'yitain, V'yitain El Moshe L'kichal Oso. Me'oros, V'yitain Osam Elokim, God placed them in the heavens. Gshamim v'nasati gishmechem be'itam. They're given to us. What does it mean they're given to us? They're given to us without any merit, without any effort on our part. The Torah was given to us. I just say Nasa v'nishma. That's Vayitein and Moshe. It was just given to us to accept. We don't have to go out and work for Torah. It was given to us. So to the Maoros. And the Torah was given to Jews who are righteous and Jews who are not so righteous. Everyone received it. So to the Maoros. On whom does the sun shine? Everybody. From the biggest tzaddik to the worst rasha. The sun shines on everyone. Everyone can be guided by the stars at night, by the moon, benefit from its light, or gain your sense of direction thereby, and rain as well. The Chazal say many times, the rain falls on the tzaddik like it falls on the rasha. So that is a matana. Matana means something that we don't necessarily deserve, but of God's kindness, He gives it to us as a gift. Now, some of Chazal added a few. So those are clear. Those are without dispute. Rabbi Azar b'shem Rishim ben Lakish omer, Af HaShalom. Peace is also a gift. Dichsiv v'nasati shalom ba'aretz. So why did the first mention this? Peace? Because peace, human beings, have the ability to achieve if they existed on the highest level. If they were all true philosophers of God. But the fact is, it is a gift. If man could do it, he would do it. The fact is, he can't do it, because we're corrupt, if not often depraved. Rabbi Yeshua ben Nechemya Amar, Av HaYeshua, salvation as well. D'chsiv atitein li magen yishecha. Ay, can't we bring salvation? Yes, we could try. There are things that we can do. Ideally, practically, it comes a gift from God as well. We think we could save ourselves. We're nothing without the Ezras Hashem. Let's skip the next one. Rabbi Tanchum Amar, Af Eretz Yisrael. It's also a gift. Tichsiv Ha'itein Lamartz Goyim. For Rabbanan Amri, Af Harachamim. Mercy as well. Ha'itein Osam L'Rachamim. V'yesh Omrim Af Nikmaso Shel Edom. Even revenge, vengeance against Rome, against all our non-Jewish tormentors over the years, that's also a gift. How are these gifts? So in each case, man can do something. We can settle Eretz Yisrael. We can conquer it. We can exercise compassion towards others. We can even try to take our vengeance from Rome. So we have a role, but it's just a role. The ultimate success and the finality is up to God. That's a matana. Man can't do everything in any of these spheres. According to the first opinion, Rabbi Yochanan, so those three, man does nothing. Torah is given to us unilaterally, the heavens shine on us unilaterally, the Geshamim fall on us unilaterally. In every other sphere, Shalom, Yeshua, Tisra, Rachmim, Nikmas, and Ladom, man can play a role. It's not completely unilateral, but ultimate success is unilateral. Either God wishes it upon us, or He doesn't. Finally, a famous pasuk after the Tochacha, V'zocharti es brisi Yaakov, V'af es brisi Yitzchak, V'af es brisi Avraham es zkor, V'aretz es zkor. God says, at the end of everything, all a long history, bloody history, tumultuous history, I will remember my covenant with Yaakov, and even my covenant with Yitzchak, and even my covenant with Avraham, I will remember. V'haretz eskar, I will remember Eretz Yisrael as well. It's a beautiful pasuk. There are so many anomalies in this pasuk. What's the first one that stands out? What's that?
The Vavan
Yaakov, which is the only one I won't address. Chazal darshin it, the Vavan Yaakov and the Vav that's missing in Eliyahu. Okay, that's a different medrash. What else? Okay, that's the first point of the Medrash here. V'loma nemru avos acharanis. Why the avos mention reverse order? Yaakov Yitzchak Avram instead of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Next, what else is unusual? So you see, it mentions Zachor by Yaakov, v'zacharti es brisi Yaakov. It mentions Zachor by Avram, v'av es brisi Avram es kor, but it does not mention Zachor by Yitzchak. It just is Af es brisi Yitzchak. Third, what else is unusual? It mentions Af by Yitzchak and by Avram, but not Yaakov. And fourth, why toss in the land of Israel into this mix? What's the connection? Seems like a non sequitur. So this Medrash here, it's a Parsha Lamed Vav, Simon Hey, takes up all of this, except, of course, for the one that you raised about Yaakov. V'loma nemar avos acharanis. Why the avos mentioned in reverse order? Lomar, im ein maseh b'Yaakov, kedai he maseh Yitzchak. If for whatever reason we think that Yaakov is not worthy, then Yitzchak's deeds are worthy. V'im ein maseh b'Yitzchak, kedai he maseh Avraham. If Yitzchak's deeds are not worthy, then Avram's deeds should be enough. Okay, what does it mean? It means if it was in the usual order, we would have thought that only the zchuyos of all the avos together are enough for God to recall the covenant. That's not so. Kedaihu maaseh kol echad ve'echad sheyidla kol ha'olam bigino. The merit of each of them, each of the avos. Each of the avos had a relationship with Hashem that suffices. The mere fact that they had a relationship that suffices to protect their children. Each of the avos brought something unique to the Jewish people. That unique aspect, chesed, the gvur, the emes, in other contexts, other characteristics, each was so unique and so special that that would suffice. You did not need all three together. So that's why the order is reversed. Yaakov, in a sense, Yaakov was Bechir Sheba Avos, but he's the youngest of the Avos. Avram really was the pioneer, and Yitzhak had the difficult task of carrying forward Avram's tradition. Yaakov already inherited tradition, father, grandfather, wasn't as hard. Nonetheless, even Yaakov's deeds would be worthy. Okay. Next, Rabbi Berechia of Rabbanon. Rabbi Berechia Omar, so why does the Pasuk not say Zohar by Yitzchak and only by Yaakov and Avram? So Rabbi Berechia said, Al Yedei Shehoya Ben Shel Yisurin, because Yitzchak was a child of suffering. Yitzchak suffered more than all the other of us. Okay, what's the pshat? Why should this matter in our context? That he was a Bal Yisurin. How was he a Bal Yisurin? Well, that Keter wasn't pleasant, for sure. And Yitzchak was struck blind in his life. And had tzaras of Esav, etc. Tzaras with the Be'eros. See, he always had a lot of tzaras. So that doesn't require remembrance. Remembrance is something that is external to the person, so to speak. When a person is enduring tzaras, when a person's life was defined by tzaras, and yet that person remained faithful to Hashem, like Yitzchak Avinu in his godless, that doesn't require zikaron. That's not memory. That's a soul that remains always attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the clearest one, from that perspective, Reb Brechia universalized all his sorrows. The Rabbanan focused on one. Rabbanan Amri, Roa Efro Shel Yitzchak Ilu Tzavur Al Gabei HaMizbeach. It's because zikaron is something of which you have to remember something of which you have no physical reminder. For Yitzchak, there's a physical reminder. Ephro shel Yitzchak, the ashes of Yitzchak. What an interesting concept. That Chazal understood Yitzchak as if he was actually slaughtered and burnt on the Akedah. They didn't survive. Why? Because part of Yitzchak did not survive. We know that. He became an Ola Tamima. He couldn't live a normal life, couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael, in fact, to find his own wife. He's already blinded, one day, it says, from the tears of the Malachim at the Akedah. It means he was a transformed personality, no longer even completely human in a sense. It's hard. Remember, Yitzchak was not a child at the time. He was older. The traditional opinion is he was 37 years old. So from that perspective, it's a great nisayon than for Yitzchak, than for Avram. Maybe that's why it's called Akedah Yitzchak. But that was Yitzchak's greatness. So according to Rabbanon, the Ephros shel Yitzchak, Yitzchak's Efer, remains gathered together on the Mizbeach. So the Maharal explains here that Yitzchak does not require Zechira because of Mesiris Nefesh. When a person is Moser Nefesh, listen to the phrase. What does the phrase mean to be Moser Nefesh? So a person dies and his soul is gathered in the world of souls. When you're Moser Nefesh, you literally hand your Nefesh over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak was Moser Nefesh. You're Moser Nefesh, you hand your, you personally hand over your soul to God, so then it's Sofur Lefanov. Sofur Agav Mizbeach. It's gathered in front of God. If it's gathered, it does not require any type of Zechira. Next, what's the next question? Af. Why Af by Yitzchak and Avram, not by Yaakov? V'loma nemar by Avram, v'Yitzchak Af, v'loma nemar by Yaakov Af, al yedei shehoysa mitoso shleima lefonov. Because Yaakov's bed, so to speak, his progeny was complete. Avram's and Yitzchak's were not. Avram, yatsa mimenu Yishmael, v'chol b'nei keturah. Yitzchak, Yatza Mimenu Esau v'chal ulufei Edom. Avram begat Yishmael and the sons of Keturah. Yitzchak begat Esau and all the chieftains of Edom. Avol Yaakov mitasa shlema shalbonav tzadikim. Yaakov's bed was complete. All his children were righteous. Hador d'chsev kulonu b'nei shechadnach. They're all together. Notwithstanding all their tzaras in the family, they're all tzadikim, the shiftekah. What's Af? What's the limud? Af is always a limiting expression, like but. But, af. What's the but? The but is v'zachartis bris of Yaakov. I have to first remember the bris of Yaakov. It's because from Yaakov came the Shvatim, the Shiftei Ka, and they are the nucleus of Klal Yisrael. Next, shouldn't give short shrift to the women. Ein li elo avos, imahos minayin. Well, the Torah only mentions the bris avos. What about the imahos? Tamalomar SSS, like Af is a limitation, S is inclusive. It comes to include Venetaya Ela Imahos, Tichsiv, Shama Kavuras Avram Ve'esarashto. S always includes the wives, the women, the Imahos here. So in fact, the Imahos are part of that bris also, the Tzidkus of Sarifka Racha Velea. Finally, V'lama hu maskir z'chus avos hu maskir z'chus ha'aretz. Why does God mention the merit of our fathers and merit also the merit of the land? What's the connection between the land and the fathers? Amar Ish Lakish, Mashal lemelech shehayu lo shlosh habonim v'shivcha achas mishlomi gadalton. Mashal, Ish Lakish has, so king has three sons, and the sons have a shivcha, maidservant. Here's not really a maidservant. What's the maidservant? Megadalton. Nanny. King has a nanny to raise his sons. Kol zman shamelech shol shalom banav. Whenever the king would inquire as to the welfare of his children, haya omer sha'aluli b'shalom ha-megadales. Ask also, how's the nanny doing? All right, not just my boys. Kach. Kol zman shakadosh baruch hu mazkir avos. Mazkir ha'aretz imahem. Every time God mentions our forefathers, He mentions the land of Israel as well. Hadau d'chsiv v'zacharti es brisi Yaakov v'af es brisi Yitzchak v'af es brisi Avram eskor v'ha'aretz eskor. Okay, what's the mashal? What's the parable? The three sons and the nanny. The king inquires after the welfare of the children, so of course he'll inquire after the welfare of the nanny as well. What's the pshat? So the Ramban, Rabbeinu Bachya, others have a Kabbalistic explanation. I can't quite understand. It's actually a very conceptually difficult point, but I can only speculate, and this is what I think the pshat is. What's a nanny? All right, don't say a substitute for a mother, but unfortunately that's the reality they serve. What's a nanny? A nanny raises the children. In other words, a nanny actualizes the potential of the children. But for whatever reason, the parents can't. That is the land of Israel. The land of Israel is the nanny of the Jewish people in the sense that it's the place where the avos and the children both fulfill their potential, where they have a complete life, where they can be spiritually perfected. Each of the avos, except for Yitzhak, I should say just Yaakov and Avram, spent a good part of their lives outside the land of Israel, not Yitzchak. They all realize, certainly Yaakov, who was the one who left after coming back from all his ordeals and wanted to stay, forced into exile in Egypt, it was Yaakov who adjured Yosef to take him back to the land of Israel. There we find spiritual perfection. See, what's the bris avos? What's the covenant with our fathers? The covenant with Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov encompassed two elements: Torah and Eretz Yisrael, both we mentioned in Berachas HaMazon, in Noda. Torah and Eretz Yisrael. So all the avos were connected to the land of Israel. All of them had a bris, a covenant with God, relating to the land of Israel, that their Zera would inherit the land. So, thus, it can't be that Kol Zman Shekadosh Baruch Hu Mazker Avos Mazker Eretz. It has to be that when contemplating the bris Avos, when contemplating the greatness of the Avos, something would be missing unless the centrality of Eretz Yisrael is mentioned as well. It's the land of Israel that gives life to the Jewish people. Nosein nishama le'am oleha, like the Navi said, Yeshayo, it gives us our very soul. So it's the land in which the Avos themselves found their maximum fulfillment. It's where their descendants find their maximum fulfillment and the realization of their potential. So therefore, when God says he remembers the bris avos, it's not just the bris avos and Torah that's remembered, it's the bris avos as related to Eretz Yisrael that has to be explicitly mentioned as well, because that's the epitome of the lives of the avos, and that's the ultimate fulfillment of their children as well, to have the Torah, and to have that Torah permeate the entirety of the land of Israel, and that we should live thereon in security, in comfort, and be zocha there to vinasati shalom baretz. Okay, I thank you all very much. Have a good week.